You're listening to Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on KXL.
Okay, we're back to talk about business and the economy with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, based right here in Lake Oswego. And Pat, another interesting week around the globe with European exposure. Of course, we saw MF Global go down about a week or so ago. And I guess my question off the top here is, we heard that there was very little exposure to this Eurozone issue, and yet MF goes down. Are there other major institutions out there or investment banks that might be in jeopardy?
My sense, Brian, is that none of the major institutions are in jeopardy. But the underlying problem here is that we still are not regulating derivatives. Here we are, 3 years after the financial meltdown, and which was caused by unregulated financial instruments. And if you recall, we've talked before about half of all debt was in the form of unregulated financial instruments, principally what's called derivatives. We still do not have effective regulatory oversight of derivative trading. And this is what happened with MF Global. It will probably happen again until we do have some regulation. Now, the larger institutions do have more oversight. Most of them have, corrected any asset shortfalls. They're properly leveraged. But until we regulate derivatives, we run the risk of having more MF Globals.
Okay, so let me ask you then, why haven't we regulated derivatives? Is it the fact that Wall Street is in bed with many folks in government? What's going on? Why haven't we done that?
Well, I think the political stalemate around increasing regulatory reform has slowed down the process dramatically, and I just said nothing in a very articulate manner. what really has happened here is that there is lack of political will to make a change, and I think your question is well phrased. Is that because the political mechanism is controlled by financial interests? My instinct here is that is true. Like it or not, we haven't been able to effect meaningful reform. Candidly, I think some of the reform that's been offered to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is way overreaching.
Yep.
However, I'm stunned that the Volcker rule has not passed. I am stunned that we haven't even made marginal improvements in regulatory oversight. And it is beyond belief that derivatives are still traded in a very obscure, unregulated manner, ergo MF Global.
And we see with MF Global, Corzine go from Goldman Sachs to government roles as a senator and a governor and then back into the private sector. And one would think that when you see something of this magnitude with someone of his magnitude happen, you've got Hank Paulson doing the same thing at higher levels. There has to be some separation between church and state when it comes to the financial world, where you can't jump from the private sector and Wall Street into government and back again, because it blurs the line between what should be done and what shouldn't be done. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'm not sure the problem is moving between Wall Street, government, in the private sector. I'm not sure that is the problem. I think the problem is that the financial sector has too much influence over our political mechanism and has forestalled meaningful regulatory reform. There is no question that we need to regulate derivatives, but we're 3 years into this downturn and we still haven't done it. There is no question that we could have better oversight of financial institutions and that we could go back to a little bit more sane ratio between assets and lending. When we repealed Glass-Steagall, we allowed the financial community to basically consolidate behind speculative investments and make a tremendous amount of their income off of trading. That's a powerful, powerful drug. When you make that kind of money off of trading, you don't want to give it up. And when you're the principal donor behind the political machine, you have the ability to forestall regulation.
It's interesting. Very interesting, and we could probably continue the entire conversation just on that topic. But I will move on now, Pat, to the next domino that could fall in Europe, and the attention turns to Italy. You've said time and again on our show that a Greek default is a given, no matter what we read or hear about. But what if Italy goes down? I mean, what's the impact of that? I saw a headline, I think, this past week that said Italy is too big to bail. What happens?
Well, that is a very real concern, Brian. Italy is one of the top 10 economies in the world. I believe it's the third largest economy in Europe. It has a tremendous amount of debt. But, you know, on the bright side here, and what probably isn't getting enough press, is that Italy is actually a fairly wealthy country, and it has a very vibrant industrial sector in northern Italy. Now, they have done something, or at least they're making noises about doing something that is encouraging, and that is, Berlusconi is going to step down, and this Mario Monti looks to be the choice for an interim premier. And he is a very accomplished economist and a very viable technocrat to lead them out of the woods, if you will. And there seems to be meaningful conversations going on about raising the retirement age and doing some things to stimulate the economy, which is really a very rational approach. You know, the path that Greece is going down, relying on austerity to cure their problems, is not going to work. And it's not going to work because even with the banks writing down 50% of the loans, Greece will still have about 120% of GDP in debt. And there's just no way for them without meaningful growth to get out of it. And the unemployment rate in Greece is about 16 to 18% right now. So Italy is going at it differently. They're going to change some of the entitlement programs. They're going to try to stimulate the economy. They have enough of a real industrial base as opposed to Greece to make it happen. Now, you know, having said all that, Brian, I worry a little bit about politicians messing things up, but I'm a little bit more optimistic about Italy getting out of the woods than I was about Greece.
Patrick Stone joining us to talk economics and business here on a Sunday afternoon as it turns to evening on Business Briefing. And, you know, it's interesting, Pat. Last Sunday's New York Times wrote a very interesting story on the reluctance of citizens, not only in Europe, but here at home in the U.S., to come to grips with what we are facing long term. And you've said this over and over when we've had lunch and coffee. You've said it on the show. We live in a world, as they said, that is aging, sluggish, and stubborn. Now, will it take another worldwide default or a Great Depression to shake us out of this, or are we capable of grasping things and turning them around?
Well, that's a great question, Brian, and you know the answer to it will lie in history, not in anything I say. For it is problematic that we are experiencing the end result of the me generation. You know, the population bubble moving through, and we got to the point where we're having a tremendous amount of people that are entering into retirement age and to a large degree dependent on some sort of government subsidy or some sort of government program, be it medical or Social Security. And it's very, very hard politically to change the tide. Now, one of the things that exacerbates the problem is the growing disparity in wealth. And, you know, we've got a couple issues here that need to be solved, are going to have to be dealt with, and it doesn't appear at the moment we have the political will to do it. What will create the will? I don't know. Certainly hope it doesn't take a horrific depression. I hope it doesn't take some sort of global catastrophe. But the political will has to be mustered, and right now I don't see it happening. So this is a very real concern, and unfortunately I don't have an answer. My gut is that we're looking at a decade of depressed economic growth, and maybe we slowly work our way out of it. We'll see.
Yeah. Interesting times, and I hear the word interesting more than ever before. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I think you use the word interesting when you really don't know what to expect. I think if there is, I'll tell you, Brian, if there is a ray of hope here, and I try to be an optimist because, you know, we get up each morning and we have our family and our friends and we go through the world, and I am, I think, essentially anonymous. So I think if there's a ray of hope here is that the deficit committee all of a sudden has actually started to negotiate. Now, whether or not it works out to something, I don't know. But what we are witnessing is a slow realization that what's going on in Europe could happen worldwide. And I do believe that the Gang of 12, the Deficit Committee, has all of a sudden started to exchange meaningful proposals. And I think this has occurred because of the Greek meltdown and the potential problems in Italy. So I think there is a ray of hope that slowly politicians are deciding that maybe this isn't just about getting reelected. It's actually about some sort of responsibility as a citizen.
Good stuff. More with Patrick Stone after a quick break.